That's Valela from Unbearable Love. Over the break, you heard Mary Youngblood, and Joy Harjo gave us Eagle's Song from her native Joy for Real. You're listening to the Children's Hour, and today on the show, we're learning about eagles. Our guest today is Dr. Brian Millsap. He's with New Mexico State University. He's a research scientist and biologist. Welcome to the Children's Hour.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Great to have you.
What differentiates eagles from other birds? In other words, what makes an eagle an eagle?
Well, that's a really good question, and it's not as straightforward an answer as you might think. Eagles are part of a group of birds known as raptors. Hawks and eagles, falcons, kites are all kind of grouped together. Eagles are kind of the largest of that group. Two eagles that we have here in North America commonly are the bald eagle and the golden eagle. And they're actually not even very closely related to each other. So it's really just they're the biggest of the hawks. That's kind of what constitutes an eagle. The word eagle is just really a descriptive word.
Really like size differences.
Size differences. You know, eagles are big. They're the biggest. You know, golden eagles are about 3 feet tall. They weigh 8 to 10 pounds. They have a wingspan of about 6 feet. So they're very, very large, large birds. Red-tailed hawks have a wingspan of about 3 feet, so about half the size of a golden eagle. But in some places, red-tailed hawks would be considered eagles. So it's really just a term that's used.
What is the difference between a bald eagle and a golden eagle?
So they're two totally different species, and they come from different lineages of birds. But if you were to look at a bald and golden eagle in the field, let's start with adults. Birds that are greater than 4 years old that have the adult plumage. Bald eagles have a bright white head, a bright white tail, and a big yellow beak and yellow feet. They're very, very distinctive birds. Golden eagles are all brown. They don't have the white head. They don't have the white tail. Their beak is dark in color. So golden eagles and bald eagles, when they're adults, look very different. The problem is young bald eagles look a lot like golden eagles. They're all brown. They have mottled white plumage, but they don't have a white head or a white tail until they're 4 years old. And so for 4 years, young bald eagles can be easily confused with golden eagles in the field.
Oh, interesting.
Why did they make eagles the national bird?
It almost wasn't the national bird. The national bird was almost the wild turkey.
Mm.
And Benjamin Franklin wanted the wild turkey. And he argued that the bald eagle wasn't an appropriate national symbol because they actually spend a lot of their time scavenging. They're not major predators and ferocious beasts that, you know, you think of them all the time. Sometimes they just scavenge on dead things. And so there was a debate about whether a scavenger was an appropriate national bird. But the bald eagle won out, and it is our national symbol.
You're saying that they mostly eat dead things? They're not like the kind of bird that hunts?
They do both. Bald eagles, in addition to scavenging, they also eat fish. They catch small mammals. They catch birds. They're ferocious predators. It's just that's not all that they do. They also will scavenge and feed on dead things if dead things are fresh and they come upon them. Golden eagles will do the same thing. So they're not opposed to eating freshly dead things that they didn't kill, but they also kill things and they're incredibly effective predators.
What is the ideal habitat for an eagle and how do they contribute to that area?
Golden eagles are what we call terrestrial. They live in grasslands and steppe and shrublands. The area around Albuquerque is really good habitat for golden eagles. Really, most of New Mexico is good habitat for golden eagles. And in that area, they're what we call an apex predator. They're at the top of the food pyramid. In addition to scavenging, which we've already talked about, they feed on jackrabbits. They feed on prairie dogs. They feed on waterfowl along the Rio Grande if they can find places to catch them. Bald eagles, they're more what's called a sea eagle. They live near water. They live near the coast, and they're mostly feeding on fish and feeding on water birds like ducks and geese that they find along the rivers. One of the big contributions that bald eagles make is that they feed a lot on crippled and injured waterfowl, and so they kind of remove sick and injured animals from the environment.
How strong are eagles? Because I've heard tell, and I'm not sure if this is true, that eagles will sometimes briefly carry goats off of things like cliffs to then eat them. Are they actually that strong to where they can lift up animals as big as that?
There certainly are cases where they've done that. I mean, I've found deer fawns, pronghorn antelope fawns, coyotes in eagle nests. I've seen videos of eagles from Europe bringing small antelope into nest sites and carrying them. golden eagles are easily able to carry jackrabbits into the nest. But oftentimes they're using lift. They're either using wind or using thermals to get off the ground and then using that lift to help them carry it. So it's not all the powered flight of the eagle. It's also taking advantage of, you know, rising air currents and wind helping them.
What part of an eagle's body is considered its most powerful weapon?
The feet.
The feet?
The feet.
Not that big, scary
bald
beak.
Eagles will bite. Golden eagles don't bite at all or very rarely bite, but they both use their feet. If you find an eagle injured down on the ground, it's going to roll over on its back and put its feet up. Don't get grabbed by an eagle.
Yeah, I bet, because they probably can shred things with those
feet.
Well,
they grab and they hold really hard, and those talons are long and they're sharp. So that's something to avoid for sure. People worry about the beak. I worry about the feet.
Don't get grabbed by an eagle.
Don't get grabbed by an eagle.
Message of the day. This is the Miraculous Love Kids right here on the Children's Hour. That was the Miraculous Love Kids with Sammy Hagar, Chad Kroger, and Rami Jeffy. And you are listening to the Children's Hour. Today on the show, we are learning about eagles. Our guest today is Dr. Brian Millsap from New Mexico State University, and he has researched and studied eagles for his entire career. Let's go over to Amadeus.
As far as birds go, how smart are eagles?
Well, I guess the question is, define smart. They have an incredible ability to home back to a location. One of the things we found in tagging these birds with satellite transmitters is they spend the winter in the exact same place to the square mile that they were the year before. And then they'll fly, you know, 300, 400, sometimes over 1,000 miles back to a nesting territory and occupy the very same spot. So they have an incredible ability to orient, you know, spatially in terms of geographically where they are. Their heads are basically a roadmap. When you consider, you know, when you're in a dive and you're having to do all the calculus to figure out how do I get to that rabbit before it gets to that cover without hitting that fence, those are all things that they're processing in their brain simultaneously. And my guess is if it were us doing that, we'd slam into the fence or slam into the ground and we'd never get the rabbit. So I give them credit for that.
How far and how long do eagles migrate?
Depends on how far they're going. Eagles here in New Mexico and in the lower 48 states, golden eagles typically don't migrate at all. They stay generally in the same area. The exception is birds from the south migrate north in the summer. When you think of migration, you think about birds up north coming south for the winter. Well, here what we have are eagles that go north in the summer. And so a lot of golden eagles from New Mexico go up to Wyoming and Montana in the summer. So, you know, 800 to 1,000 miles, basically. But the really long distance champs are golden eagles that nest in northern Alaska and northern Canada. And those birds will migrate all the way down from the north slope of Alaska to northern Mexico, southern New Mexico for the winter. And so that's 2,500 miles or so at least on those migrations.
How long does that take?
In the tracking data, 10 days to 2 weeks is some of the tracks of those migrants when they're really moving. But oftentimes, they'll stop along the way and spend a few days in a particular location and then move on. So they aren't necessarily just moving as fast as they can. They're moving to a source and then feeding up on food for a few days and then moving again. But the migration tracks that they take can be pretty long, especially for those northern golden eagles.
To our Alaska listeners, we've got your birds.
Yep, your birds are here in New Mexico now.
They're fine. They're doing great. We're taking good care of them.
What we do know is that golden eagles, they tend to follow the exact same trajectory. They have stopover areas that they'll stop at as they're migrating, and they tend to reuse the same stopover areas from year to year. So they're able to navigate to those places. Whether they're visually cueing in on mountain ranges and waterways and highways, or whether they have, there's some research that suggests that they're getting cues from things that we can't even see or feel or hear, but are out there.
Like the North Pole, like the
North
magnets
pole, exactly.
of the Earth?
The magnets of the Earth,
That's
the magnetic
so
poles of the Earth may be helping them as well. But one thing's for sure is that they're very good at navigating from place to place. And if you look at the routes that eagles will take from one year to the next, the stopover places are almost always identical. They're staying in the same places for a few days and then moving on. And then the places where they end up are almost always the same place that they were the year before and the year before that.
Like enough that they reuse their old nest?
They reuse their old nest. They reuse the same roost sites at night, both on the breeding grounds and on the wintering grounds.
That's Dr. Brian Millsap. He is a biologist at the New Mexico State University. He's with us at the Outpost Performance Space where we're learning about eagles. Stick with us. There's a lot more to come. But first, this is Paul Vincent Nunez, right here on the Children's Hour.
Up in the open sky, an eagle is flying high. White as the winter snow are the clouds below. He sees the land and sea as he flies over me. I wish I had eagle wings, and together we would sing. Blue is the ocean, and every lake and stream are clear as the mountain. Blue
It's up to you and me to save the air, land, and sea. Under an Arctic floe, a blue whale swims deep and slow. She knows the eagle's song, and we can sing along.
Soaring through the sky, there's a mighty bird who loves to fly so high, with feathers tipped in white and eyes that see afar. The bald eagle glides beneath the shining star. Fly, fly, fly like a bald eagle, spread your wings and touch the sky. Fly, fly, fly like a bald eagle, let's soar together, you and I. Perch atop the tall trees, nest among the clouds. Home is where the heart is, where the eagle sounds, with a call so bold and a spirit free. The bald eagle lives in you and me. Fly, fly, fly like a bald eagle, spread your wings and touch the sky. Fly, fly, fly like a bald eagle, let's soar together, you and I. Flap your arms and feel the breeze. Imagine all the worlds you'll see. Close your eyes and take a flight. You're a bald eagle tonight. Fly, fly, fly like a bald eagle. Spread your wings and touch the sky. Fly, fly, fly like a bald eagle. Let's soar together, you and I. So when you see that eagle fly, remember you can reach the sky. Fly, fly, fly. Go dream big and spread your wings.
From a release called Songs for Kids, that's the Bald Eagle's song, and Paul Vincent Nunez before that with the Eagle's song. We're thinking about eagles because we're learning about eagles. You can find pictures and links and a lot more information at childrenshour.org. Many thanks to the Outpost Performance Space for hosting the Children's Hour. The Children's Hour is supported by United Way of North Central New Mexico. Support for the Children's Hour provided by New Mexico Arts, a division of the New Mexico Department of Cultural Affairs, and by the National Endowment for the Arts. Support for the Children's Hour provided by the City of Albuquerque Cultural Services Department and the Urban Enhancement Trust Fund. You can keep up with the Children's Hour by signing up for our monthly newsletter at childrenshour.org.